Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. We are eager to offer amazingly competitive prices, plus an additional $1,000 Costco discount on all new Cherry Hill Volvos. When leasing or purchasing a new or certified Cherry Hill Volvo, you become a valued part of our team. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Cherry Hill Volvo Studios, where relationships matter. Always live on the free Odyssey app. The revolution will be broadcast.
This is the next generation of talk. Now, on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, Rich Zeoli.
Yes, we are live. We are local in Afternoon Drive again. My triumphant return to Afternoons. Thank you for being here today. We appreciate it very, very much. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Thank you for being part of the show today. Appreciate it very much. It is great to be back with you from 3 to 7 p.m. We still have 2 big hours to go before the show's over today. And I want to congratulate Nick Kale. Kale and Company today, the debut show was fantastic this morning from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. along with Dawn Stensland and Greg Stocker. They did a great job and it was a great show. But this is where I belong, and this is where I need to be with you. I opened the show with this today, but now I see they're talking about it on the 5. The idea of what Kamala Harris said about the idea that, aid for the hurricane should be based on equity. Equity, not based on whether or not you got hurt really bad by the storm, not whether or not your community was affected, but equity. And just to remind you of what she said, we'll play it again for you. Take a listen.
It is our lowest income communities and our communities of color that are most impacted by these extreme conditions and impacted by issues that are not of their own making.
And so women.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way
and
that
women.
Is about.
Did you catch that? And women? How are women more impacted by hurricanes than men, out of curiosity? Can they not buy boots and boats and gear to get themselves out? I'm just trying to understand why they are more impacted than men are. I mean, I understand that Kamala Harris here is trying to make everything about what the left always does, which is another chance to advance government policy, another chance to advance socialism, another chance to scream about racial inequity. But then you throw in the women thing. So is this one of these moments where I got to ask, are we acknowledging gender or not acknowledging gender? If women are more hurt, impacted by hurricanes and other storms, does that mean that we're acknowledging that they're women now, finally, or not? I'm so confused by this. All right, keep going.
Absolutely. And so we have to address this in a way that is about giving resources based on equity, understanding that we fight for equality, but we also need to fight for equity, understanding not everyone starts out at the same place. And if we want people to be in an equal place, sometimes we have to take into account those disparities and do that work.
Yeah, we got to take into account those disparities, not the destruction by the hurricane, the disparities, and then everybody claps. Yay! Well, so Governor DeSantis' office came out and said, we are going to make sure that we take care of people based on their need and the destruction that happened because of the storm, not because of any socialist, woke, lefty apology or policy, none of that. And that's good because we should not be focusing on any of this nonsense. We should not. Even the White House has had to come out and walk this back and say, well, everybody who was hurt by the hurricane will be helped, not just those impacted by the policies. And good. But what an idiot to come out and suggest that hurricanes are racist, because that's really what it is, right? Hurricanes are racist and these storms, they hurt people of color more. No, they don't. Of course they don't. But that's another chance by government to not let a crisis go to waste and to push these awful, terrible, terrible, terrible policies. DeSantis and his office came out and said, We cannot believe that Kamala Harris would actually be advocating policies like this. Oh, we also had a good warning for those people who are thinking about possibly now looting in Florida. Governor DeSantis will have none of this. This is his moment. This is his test. Can Ron DeSantis rise to the level? Because I do think that he's going to be, if Trump does not run, he will be the Republican nominee in 2024. No question about it. But will he rise to this moment right now? And one of those issues is dealing with looters and dealing with people who might prey on people who are hurting right now. Well, in typical DeSantis fashion, he takes a shot at it. Take a listen.
The other thing that we're concerned about, particularly in those areas that were really hard hit, is, you know, we want to make sure we're maintaining law and order. Don't even think about looting. Don't even think about taking advantage of people in this vulnerable situation. And so local law enforcement is involved in monitoring that. You know, I told Kevin if the state needs to help as well, because, you know, you can have people, you know, bringing boats into some of these islands and trying to ransack people's homes. I can tell you, in the state of Florida, you never know what may be lurking behind somebody's home. And I would not want to chance that if I were you, given that we're a Second Amendment state.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to chance it either. Not in Florida. No way. You know, that's a problem if you try to do that. So good for him reminding people of that. I'm sure that some people on the left are going to scream and go, come on, it should be their right to loot and steal. They just went through a terrible storm. They should be able to loot and steal. Come on. How dare you? DeSantis' spokesperson rebukes Harris for proposing hurricane aid be based on equity. A campaign advisor accusing her right now that she is causing undue panic with her suggestion that Hurricane Ian relief should be distributed based on equity. Christina Pushaw, the rapid response director, said, this is false. The VP's rhetoric is causing undue panic and must be clarified. FEMA individual assistance is already available to all Floridians regardless of race or background, and she urged the vice president to correct what she said. And Kamala Harris was slammed by other people as well for this, but not as much as she was slammed for the way that she was like a seven-year-old looking at North Korea with the binoculars. This is an amazing piece of audio right here. So Kamala Harris was in, she was on a little mission. She was looking at North Korea through a set of, I think it was a binoculars, I think she was using, right? And this is kind of like the first time that my son ever saw a pony. This is kind of what it reminds me of. You know what I mean? Like, we took him to the zoo, and you went, look at hippos, Patrick. Look, Claire, look, there's a giraffe. Wow, Daddy, they're so close. It's kind of like this. Take a listen.
There's something that beats to all creatures. It's
50 meters away, man. That's right, that's the wood line.
Yeah, it's 50 meters away, moron. See, that's what the guy's thinking in his mind. You know that Marine was thinking that, right? It's 50 meters away, ma'am. Which I wish I was 50 meters away from you right now. Look at it, so close. Look, Daddy, popcorn. That's what it reminded me of when she said that. Do we have the audio of Joe Biden threatening the oil companies not to price gouge? You have it? All right, this is Joe Biden with his stern warning against the oil companies in Florida price gouging. Now, I'm going to tell you that I am a fan of, I'm not going to use the term price gouging because that's what the left expects, but I am a fan of the market doing what the market needs to do to respond to economic conditions. And what I'm telling you is price gouging laws make things worse. They make supplies scarce. And I'll tell you how they do that. Because when you've got laws against price gouging, people tend to buy more than they need. When you have laws against price gouging, you have less of an incentive for people to stop what they're making and make something else that might make them a little bit less money, but it's what's urgently needed because they have limits on what they can charge for that item, even though there might be great demand for it. So laws against price gouging are the most counterintuitive laws out there. They actually make problems worse. But don't let that stop Joe Biden. Don't let that get in the way of Joe Biden here. We got to take a quick break. We're going to do that. And when we come back, but before I do, I'm going to tell you about Cooper University Healthcare. Well, I just talked for like 45 minutes, didn't I? That was amazing.
Did you even breathe the entire time?
I breathed. How do you say it? Is it breathing, Henry, or breathed?
Is breathed a word?
Probably not.
No, I wouldn't not think a so. Word.
What's on my show sheet? I breathed. I breathed. How do you say breathe in the past tense anyway? How do you say that? I took a breath.
That sounds right to me.
Because I breathe, it does not sound good. Like I birthed a person.
That is not right.
Well, you know, my wife birthed Reagan at Cooper University Hospital, and we had such an amazing experience with Cooper. I trust Cooper for all my family's healthcare needs, and Cooper University Healthcare, they're doing amazing things on changing people's lives for the better when it comes to cancer care. The MD Anderson Center at Cooper, the MD Anderson Cancer Center at Cooper, is first-rate, world-class cancer care right in our backyard. And Cooper is changing the game with the Cooper Neurological Institute. I mean, literally giving people their minds back and saving their lives. It's great stuff. And Cooper Urgent Care, too, is the best. It's staffed by actual emergency department physicians and nurses. People that work on the very front lines are there for you and your family at a Cooper Urgent Care. So reach out to them today for an appointment. Call 800-8-COOPER or visit cooperhealth.org. Cooper is committed. Compassionate. Complete.
Thanks for taking the Zioli Show with you. Rich Zioli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It is Monday. Thanks for being here today. Appreciate it very, very much. On Twitter, at Rich Zioli. And Facebook as well. We're on Facebook, and you can comment. We got a lot to discuss. We are going to do a Who Won Social Media contest later. And my Rich Zioli show page on Facebook as well. So please do weigh in on either. And Matt DeSantis, the executive producer of the show, will be following along with Henry and trying to figure out who is worthy of the wonderful designation of the social media winner. You know, the concept, too, of liberal policies, and I love when liberal policies blow up in their own faces. And I saw this yesterday at my formerly hometown newspaper in New Jersey, the Star-Ledger, out of Newark, the Newark Star-Ledger. Now, this is a newspaper that is a liberal rag by all accounts, and this newspaper has absolutely advocated the kind of liberal policies over the years, like $15 minimum wage. Absolutely have. They're big on mandatory unions. They're big on not allowing teachers to not be part of the union. They also have a lot of fugazi polls that wind up showing support for Democrats, because that's really what modern day polling is. It's just a way to advance Democrat candidates. It's not actually about finding out who's going to win a race. It's about making sure that you think somebody's going to win a race and then act accordingly. So they put this this op-ed in their newspaper, and it was entitled the following: "This fresh blow to newspapers and our democracy must be stopped." And they go on about how this editorial is tough for them to write because it's a true conflict of interest for them, because newspapers are a matter of life and death. I mean, truly, this could be for them life and death, and that they need something that will save local newspapers. Now, what are they so upset about, you might wonder to yourself. And also, too, I would think to myself, if a newspaper can't make it, oh, well, a newspaper can't make it. This is what they're upset about. The fact that in the state of New Jersey, very, very soon, the men and women who deliver newspapers will have to be counted as employees. The State Department of Labor is going to enforce a law that's been on the books since the FDR era. And they write, "This law, since FDR, upending tradition by ordering these workers to be treated as employees." That means newspapers or the firms they hire to handle delivery would have to pay taxes to cover benefits like unemployment and disability, just as they do for full-time employees. It would cost the Star-Ledger, already diminished by layoffs and buyouts, about $3 million a year. This is part of a movement, mostly in progressive states, to combat the spread of abuses related to contract work. It was first inspired by the growing use of lower-paid contract work on construction sites, many of them working full-time and standing shoulder-to-shoulder with regular employees. And contract work has exploded in the gig economy because of Uber and Grubhub. Understand, this is not a simple story about heroes and villains. Many contract workers are happy to be independent. You see what they're doing here, right? They know that if their contract workers are treated as employees, it's going to kill their newspaper. But that's never stopped them in the past for turning around and saying that contract employees independent contractors should be employees. They advocated for these policies. And this is what happens, right? This is what happens when they advocate for policies until it personally affects them and they realize, wow, what a stupid policy we just advocated all these years. This sucks. Maybe we probably shouldn't have advocated for that policy all these years. This is awkward. But they believe it and they mean it, except when it hurts them. These newspapers are a great example of this, right? How many times has Uber, Grubhub, other places, how many times maybe you have turned around and said, you can't treat independent contractors as employees because my business, I'll go out of business. I need you to understand that they're contractors, contract work. And how many times did the left scoff at that and tell you, no, you need to pay them $15 an hour. No, you need to pay them healthcare. No, you need to pay this. You need to pay that. What did you wind up doing? Well, in many cases, you lost your business or you lost employees. You said, can't hire you then. There is an absolute correlation between blue cities like out in the West that have put in $15 minimum wage, Portland, Oregon, other places like that, and then have had massive spikes of unemployment because it's not that people are greedy. It's just that they have to do what they got to do in business to make ends meet. But then when it affects the newspaper, suddenly now, I mean, no. It's woke liberal policy for thee, but not for me, okay? No. We want you to pay more. We can't afford it. Yeah, but no, that's what I said about my business. I can't afford it. Yeah, well, yeah, but you're just a greedy capitalist. We're local newspapers who serve our communities, and without us, people will never get the news they need because God knows in this day and age, there's no way to get news if you don't have a newspaper. So we have a vital public service. And for that reason, we're now going to hypocritically abandon all of the lefty policies we advocated for years. Things like, you know, mandatory minimum wage, mandatory this, mandatory that, all that out the window now. The minute it affects us. Bravo to the Newark Star-Ledger for exposing the hypocrisy right there. I say that is absolutely delicious. And I also wonder how our Puerto Rican president feels about it, because it now turns out that Joe Biden is Puerto Rican. I had no idea. You know, I saw him marching in the Puerto Rican Day Pride, but I thought that was as a politician, not as an actual Puerto Rican person. But nevertheless, this is Joe Biden today. Take a listen.
And so I was sort of raised in the Puerto Rican community at home politically. And so we came here for a long time, both for business and pleasure, since you're part of the Third Circuit.
So does that make him Puerto Rican? Does that qualify him as being a Puerto Rican American? An American of Puerto Rican? Why not, right?
I think you get a certificate or something, right?
You know, he's probably spent more time in Puerto Rico than Scranton.
One of his
you
many
look
hometowns.
At it back. What's that?
One of his many hometowns.
Yeah, one of his many hometowns, right? He said he lived in Scranton. I think we fact checked that to be till he was 8, right? I think it was 8, which would make him living in Puerto Rico longer, I think. I love when Joe Biden embellishes about his past, which isn't hard to do, because I honestly think that Joe Biden is just so used to making stuff up that sometimes he just thinks people will just forget. We also have another clip of Joe Biden, another little comment that he made today. Take a listen.
Well, my name's Joe Biden, and I don't want the headline to read, Biden brings storm to Puerto Rico. So I'm going to maybe have to cut this a little short. Let me start off by saying that Jill and I, and thank you very much for that lovely introduction.
Yep. Okay, so there you go. I don't want the headline to be Joe Biden brings storm to Puerto Rico. I don't even know what that means. But nevertheless, Joe Biden has been kind of missing in action, if you ask me, on the Hurricane Ian response. It really is amazing how he has been nowhere on this. I mean, he was in Puerto Rico today. And I'm not suggesting he has to be in Florida. I know it's tough for presidents to go to these places in the middle of a storm. But my God, if he was a Republican right now, remember what they did to Bush. They killed Bush over Katrina. They killed him. But there's two reasons why they don't want Joe Biden going near this. Number one, anything that goes wrong, they want to blame DeSantis for. If something goes right, they're going to give Joe Biden credit for it anyway. Number two, they're afraid Joe Biden will go to Florida and say something profoundly stupid, probably make a comment about DeSantis that is completely inappropriate, given the moment, and they don't want that to happen either. But I am amazed, though, since this storm has happened, how little Joe Biden has said about it and how little Joe Biden has been on the front and center of this, because typically these things are moments for presidents and politicians to rise to the occasion. Not this guy. No way. 855-839-1210. Hey, I want to tell you about my buddy, Dr. Mike Veneria. He is a great guy, a great friend of the show, and my personal dentist. That's right. In fact, the entire Zioli family goes to see Dr. Mike. He's a great dentist. Would you like a brand new smile? Why wouldn't you? A smile can tell the world you're happy. A smile is really like a window to the soul. And at Dr. Mike's office, you have a choice, a clear choice to make when choosing implants. Dr. Mike's treatment is precise, efficient, and yields excellent results at a significant savings from the national chain offices. He has earned the confidence of other doctors to be their doctor, like Dr. Maz, for example, and my family, too, as well. So call him today to schedule for all your family's dental needs. He's going to give you a free consultation for those dental implants. And locations are right over the bridge in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. So schedule your free implant consultation today for your perfect smile. 856-786-2020, 856-786-2020, or VeneriaDental.com. He's my dentist. He's my buddy and the master of dental implants, voted best dentist in South Jersey for 9 consecutive years. So go see him today. Make that appointment and get the smile you deserve. Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
The Rich Zioli Show on your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
Henry's doing a great job with the music today, by the way. Sounds great. Good stuff. Thank you very much. 855-839-1210. You know, there's so much wokeness in our world today. It's something we're all dealing with. And it continues to rear its ugly head when it comes to the left and what they want to do when it comes to things like, oh, I don't know, federal judges who vow to stop hiring law clerks from Yale Law School, which is exactly what's happening right now. And I'm very happy to welcome to the program. Nate Hochman is a staff writer at National Review, and he joins me now on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Hey, Nate, thanks for making time today. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Rich. Good to be here.
Absolutely. So Judge James Ho of the U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals for the Fifth Circuit announced Thursday he would no longer be hiring law clerks from Yale Law School, and he urged other judges to follow suit. Why did he do that?
Well, look, Judge Ho has been, I think, one of the most sort of outspoken and courageous judges in the federal circuit. He has been particularly outspoken on campus issues and in law schools because he's interacting with young law clerks who are coming into his office all of the time. And he understands that these are the people who are going to be the future lawyers and going to be the judges on the judiciary someday. And Yale Law School has been particularly insane in terms of its cancel culture, its left-wing wokeness in recent years. And Judge Ho said, you know, I've had enough. I think for those of us who believe in sanity, who believe in free speech, you know, there's no reason that we have to hire clerks from places like Yale Law. And the only way they're going to change is if we actually put pressure on them by doing things like this.
Do you mean that here's a judge fighting back against cancel culture, fighting back against the woke left by essentially now employing the same tactics that they employ all the time, which I, by the way, 100% agree with what this judge is doing. I think it's fantastic. Because think about it now, Yale Law School is one particular law school where cancellations and disruptions seem to occur with special frequency, the judge said. So essentially now he's pointing out that, you know what, you can cancel the cancelers.
That's right. And look, I mean, the people who haven't been paying attention to what's happening at Yale Law, and I don't blame you if you don't, it is really above and beyond even the normal insanity that we see on elite, you know, Ivy League campuses. There was recently, earlier this year, a bipartisan panel on free speech, ironically on free speech, faced a disruption that became so intense that police officers who were at the event had to call for backup and escort all the panelists out of the building and into a squad car. And the associate dean of Yale Law, who was there for the whole event, did nothing. So this is not just some crazy students. It's being sanctioned and often encouraged by the administration at Yale Law. And Judge Ho isn't just going after crazy woke students. He's actually targeting the power structure at Yale Law that allows that stuff to happen.
Which is important. I mean, it really is, because this power structure is not just at Yale. It's also at other schools, too, as you point out, like Georgetown Law, for example, and how they treated Professor Ilya Shapiro.
Right. And Judge Ho, actually, this just goes to show how courageous of a federal judge he is. He actually went to Georgetown Law to defend Ilya Shapiro at Georgetown Law when he was being canceled. I reported on this, you know, a while ago. He was scheduled to give a speech on something completely unrelated, a legal theory issue. And he surprised Georgetown Law by scrapping the speech at the last minute and giving the surprise speech with a robust defense of Ilya Shapiro, saying Ilya Shapiro didn't do anything wrong. And he finished the speech by saying, if you cancel Ilya, you're going to have to cancel me too. So this is someone who's really been at the forefront and much more outspoken and vocal than I think a lot of federal court judges throughout all of these different campus controversies. I hope that other judges follow suit. He's encouraging them to do that. I hope that they take his word.
And it's important, too, because, you know, you've got law schools around the country right now, Nate, where they won't have debates on certain topics. They won't talk about certain things because they don't want to make students feel unsafe. Yale's been a leader in all this. And that's dangerous for the law. It's dangerous for the legal system if you are training people who are going to actually be the lawyers, but they're not allowed to go through the proper training in classrooms because they're told not to talk about certain things, not to cite case law, not to discuss certain philosophical principles because it might offend somebody. I mean, it just sounds insane that I'm even saying that this is happening.
Right. But I think the one point that you made about how this is not just confined to college campuses is really important, because for a very long time, a lot of us saw what was happening on college campuses, all this craziness, and went, well, it's crazy, but they're going to grow out of it. Right. And we turned out to be, you know, those of us who thought that turned out to be totally wrong. They don't grow out of it, actually. They all of these people from places like institutions like Yale Law, they get out into the real world and they transform American society in their image, right? And that's something that Judge Ho was talking about and worrying about in his speech. He was saying, this doesn't just remain confined to Yale Law. These are the people who are going to be the future lawyers, the politicians, the prosecutors, the judges, certainly, eventually even Supreme Court justices, who are going to define the American legal system. And if we don't do something and really have a sense of urgency about pushing back now, it's going to be too late.
The other issue, and this is something that Judge Ho worried about, and you wrote about this, Nate Hochman, in your piece, was that our whole country has now become a campus with academic trends trickling into the mainstream American society. Cancel culture now has infected our educational institutions, the legal profession, corporate America, public health, and even the criminal justice system has been weaponized to cancel disfavored political viewpoints. The judge arguing this in his speech before the Kentucky Federalist Society, cancel culture is deeply embedded in journalism, entertainment, sports, and the arts, and the consequences for America are significant. They really are. But, you know, lawyers in the past used to be ones you could assume would fight against cancel culture, right, Nate Hochman? Because for a lot of them, they understood the First Amendment, freedom of the press, freedom of speech. You would imagine them to be on the side of that. I can cite the ACLU for a moment here. But the ACLU now believes it's okay to censor, it's okay to punish people for their speech if, for example, a marginalized community is affected by the words, if they're triggered by those words. I mean, that's a very, very dangerous place to be.
That's exactly right. The ACLU obviously is a perfect example of the transformation of all of these legal institutions. And it's exactly why what Judge James Ho is doing is so important, because, you know, no one is safe from this stuff. I think a lot of people, particularly in more conservative areas of the country, for a long time thought, you know, that craziness was going to remain in these deep blue areas on college campuses, on the lefty sort of institutions. And what we've seen over the last 10 and really 5 years is that it's in big tech. It's in the CDC. You know, it's certainly in the prosecutor's offices in cities like San Francisco and Pennsylvania. You know, 20 cities defunded their police department. You can trace all of that back to what's happening on campuses. What happens on campus does not stay on campus. And you might not be interested in the campus culture wars, but the campus culture wars are certainly interested in you. And that's why it's incumbent on, you know, conservatives like Judge James Ho to actually use their positions of power to put pressure on these institutions to actually force them to change, because we've seen time and time again, they're not just going to change from us arguing with them. You actually have to put material pressure on them.
Yeah, and the reason for that is because if you're not an attorney, you may not know this, but being a Yale Law School student and then getting a clerkship for a federal judge is a major plum, right?
Right. Yes. And that's a huge, huge part of Yale Law's prestige, right? Yale is the number one rated law school in the country precisely because of how many federal clerkships it gets. That's one of the main ways that law schools have their ratings. So if Judge Ho does this and then he gets, you know, even just 5-6 other circuit court judges who are courageous enough to join him, that puts a huge dent in Yale Law's standing. And that will, again, change the entire incentive structure for the Yale Law administrators. Those Yale Law administrators who were sitting by as all of these student radicals were trying to assault these panelists recently, they're going to think twice about that if they realize there are actual material consequences for the institutions they work with if they don't actually try to put up a fight. So that's why this kind of stuff is going directly for the center of Yale Law's credentialism and its prestige, and that's how you actually get these institutions to change.
You know, and Nate Huckman, something that the judge said that I really love from his speech, and he talks about if you've got people who are intolerant of liberalism, in other words, if you have people who are displaying illiberalism, which is the opposite of the classical liberalism that we subscribe to, but there has to be some consequence to that. He said, he points this out here. He says, you know, it turns out that when elite law schools like Yale teach their students that there are no consequences to their intolerance and illiberalism, the message sticks with them. And good, because, I mean, judges and law students and lawyers should be the proponents of classical liberalism, not modern day liberal illiberalism, but, you know, classical liberalism. And so good. I mean, we, you know, he says customers can boycott entities that practice cancel culture. I think you wrote this, actually. But you know, for a judge to do this and push back may send the right message, at least insofar as law schools are concerned. I mean, we can hope anyway.
Right. And another point that Judge Ho made in his full remarks, which didn't make it into the piece, but hopefully will be published soon, was that the difference between someone like Judge Ho and someone like the administrators at Yale Law is he's not trying to cancel these people because he wants to destroy them outright. He's trying to put pressure on them so that they actually move back towards a more small L liberal approach. So what he's doing is a strategic move to try to push them away from illiberalism. He's not trying to engage in his own genre of cancel culture. That's the difference. So this is, again, it's a strategic move with the goal of trying to restore free speech and open debate on elite law campuses like Yale. And I think that's, you know, you have to think in these terms if you're actually going to succeed in that goal.
Nate Huckman, National Review. Appreciate it. We'll post a link to your piece. Federal judge vows to stop hiring law clerks from Yale Law School. Appreciate it, my friend.
Thanks, Rich. Appreciate it.
And I want to thank my friends at Emmons Roofing and Siding for doing a great job with me. Somebody called the show Mario, my first caller in afternoon drive again, called the show to ask me if the roofing company was coming with me because Emmons worked on his home and he said they did a great job for him. Well, they'll do a great job for you as well. You can trust the great work of Emmons Roofing and Siding, the company I use in my home. And they have some great news right now. They know that interest rates are skyrocketing, rising inflation's out of hand. So what can you do if you need a major repair like a new roof, windows, or siding? Well, you can't wait because winter's right around the corner. And thanks to my friends Stephanie and Matt and the team at Emmons Roofing and Siding, you don't have to wait. Because right now, Emmons is offering each and every one of my listeners an inflation relief discount of 10% off roofing, siding, and Anderson window replacements. And because Stephanie and Matt know that times are tough, they are continuing to offer all of my listeners 12 months, same as cash financing. That's 12 months to pay to give yourself the peace of mind you need. So if you're in the market for a new roof, roof repairs, siding, or Anderson windows, give Emmons a call today for a free estimate at 856-885-6677. 856-885-6677 or visit emmonsroofing.com. emmonsroofing.com. Remember, take advantage of their inflation relief discount and 12-month financing. This is a great local company that I use and trust, and they should be your company as well. EmmonsRoofing.com.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you. Rich Zeoli, weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD. Chicken with matches.
So there's this state senator in New York, out of Queens, who likes some obscene tweets, including some hardcore porn. Twitter account run by State Senator Toby Ann Stavisky, who represents College Point in Whitestone, gave the thumbs up three times to lurid comments and media posted by the handle at the Jazlyn on September 25th, including lots of X-rated videos and smut and all kinds of different things. 83-year-old Democrat senator from Queens. Do you think he was just, thought he was just liking what the kids are going to be taught in school? I think he just thought it was curriculum?
It was a woman.
Oh, she?
Yeah.
Oh, I guess Toby could be a man or a woman, right? Toby Ann. Got it.
Which makes it even weirder. Like an old 83-year-old is looking that up. That's kind of gross.
Or, you know, it's modern medicine, right? Modern technology in healthcare. But she, you know, she likes this stuff. And it just sounds so much like the curriculum that I read earlier. Did it not? The stuff that she's liking, the foul pornographic messages. It's like ripped from the headlines of the New Jersey State Department of Education or something. Oh, that's creepy. I would not want to be around her. Ew. I don't know what happened or who had access. It wasn't the senator. It wasn't me, said the chief of staff. You think it was the chief of staff? 100%.
1,000% him, because why else would he include? Wasn't me.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't me either.
No one even accused him.
We didn't ask if it was you. We didn't say it was you. No, I know, but I feel like I need to clarify that it definitely wasn't me. Yeah, that's creepy. I don't know what happened or who had access. It wasn't the senator. It wasn't me. Clearly, the senator had nothing to do with the likes. Unfortunately, many former staff members and current staff have access to this account, which will be remedied. Well, who are the perverts on the staff, basically, is the question. That's what I want to know. So who's sitting at home thinking they're tweeting for the senator and they're watching all this porn and liking it for her? You know what I mean? See, I would think that you got a bunch of creeps on your staff right there. And how big can the staff really be? It's a state senator from Queens. What are there, four people? Jimmy, you do it? Nah, I didn't do it. Did you do it? Yeah, all right, I did it. Why'd you log in as a senator? I didn't know how to log out. Man's got to do what a man's got to do. I'm trying to understand, you know? Did you know you like that as a senator, not as you? Yeah. All right, just checking. It's awkward. Very, very awkward. 855-839-1210. That's just creepy, though. I mean, you know. They also now, we have a Lizzo. I don't even know who Lizzo is. She's a singer, right?
Yeah.
We got some Lizzo to get to in the 6 o'clock hour. Also, Vice News has a piece on rehabilitating sex offenders. And it ends with also something that's quite lewd as well. We'll add that to the mix as well. We got a lot. Got a New Jersey brewery suing the state of New Jersey over outrageous restrictions. And these are some very, very outrageous restrictions as well. And John Fetterperson gives a puzzling response when answering questions during an interview. And I'll share that audio with you as well coming up. You don't want to miss that. But also, too, the challenge that is facing all of us in the race for the next senator and governor of Pennsylvania. Will there be a debate before everybody votes by mail? That is one of the questions. We'll talk about it in the 6 o'clock hour. Don't go away.
Rich Zeoli, weekday afternoons, 3 to 7. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and on the free Odyssey app.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.